Hello, Sunday evening. Here we are on Facebook for day 21 of the 49 days. So I'm going to do a bit of a review, and then we're going to do an Ask Me Anything. I've got a bunch of questions from people who've been following along, so that's going to be fun. But first, I just want to check in and just suggest that we all get into a little bit of an awareness of our state. Good posture, feeling aligned. I'm just going to move this a little bit because I just sat up a bit. And let's just do a good regulating breath. Nice deep inhale, feel your egg. Exhale. Just let it all go, let it out. And we'll inhale and do a releasing breath. We hold it at the top. Just whatever is sort of got you busy and jangly, just breathe it out. And we'll do a receiving and drawing in of our aliveness and see if you can feel your yoke. That's something we're still learning to pay attention to. So breathe all the way in, all the way out. Hold it out. Feel what you need, feel your yoke, and then breathe in. And relax. So again, if you're really wanting to get into the cold showers, we're up to 45 seconds cold, 15 seconds hot. And if you want to experiment a bit more with breath work, then I would recommend doing that underwater breathing for about 3 or 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes before you get in the shower. And well, maybe a bit more than that, because it takes about 3 or 4 minutes before your body starts to feel a bit tingly or a bit lightheaded. And then you just want to sit still or lie down for about 3 more minutes and then go and have your shower. And you'll probably notice a very different response to what you're doing. So just a bit of a reminder, this week is all about the gut, which is actually all about your solar plexus. And again, your solar plexus is this big nerve branch that comes out right below your heart, and it affects your diaphragm, it affects your peristalsis or your guts, and it affects your adrenals, and it's kind of a big part of your fight or flight, but it's also a big part of your tend to befriend. So it's really kind of like the human steering wheel in the sense of how we get around and how we feel as we get around. So just keep in mind that one of the reasons we're doing things like deep breathing exercises, the tortoise breathing, is to make sure that we're actually engaging and exciting and regulating your solar plexus top and bottom, which is why we're also doing that little hold with the anus to pull it towards your belly button, to pull it towards your sides, corners, and back, so that not only can you really regulate your breath, focus on filling your egg. Fundamentally, though, if you were to be mechanically minded, which sometimes I am, I'm very comforted knowing that with my deep breathing, I'm really engaging the nerve that is sometimes the one that's driving my life around ahead of me. And that's the tricky part with your solar plexus, is that if it's all charged up with trauma, with relationship issues, difficulty connecting with people, it's going to exaggerate and amplify its behavior. So we kind of have to get in underneath of it and kind of train it the way you would train like a puppy or a horse. So that's a big part of that. And also keep in mind that you're also dealing with your second brain or your gut brain, which is everything you eat and don't poop. It's basically the biochemistry of inflammation and how that affects your neurotransmitters. It's a lot to do with your microbiome or the thousands of little critters that live in your tummy that also produce your neurotransmitters and produce inflammation. And this is a bit creepy, sorry. They can actually kind of poo in a way or explode in a way where some of the things that they excrete can get through your liver, your blood-brain barrier, and into your brain, leaving you feeling really quite stressed or forgetful or tired. So the more we can become really intimately aware of all that on a very sensual level, then your second brain, your gut brain, is your brain instead of the thing that you're riding around on with your usual brain. So that's what we're up to with all of that. One other thing that I would encourage anyone who's taking this possibility, this opportunity to heart, or very thoroughly, is every one of us wakes up with a certain daily flavor of neurotransmitters, inflammation, deep rest, stress hormones, and things like that. And that's going to change very much how we think and how we feel and how we interact with everyone. And it's kind of like we have our daily breath that we want to pick and work with. Maybe we have a daily alignment, a daily self or mind that we're playing with. I think it's also good to be aware that you have a daily flavor. And that's brewing up from your belly up into your brain, changing very much how you perceive the world. So the more you take care of that with diet and, you know, the usual things, the easier that's going to be. But much more importantly, it's kind of like journaling. You know, I have 3 good days a week. I have 5 good days a week. Every second day is really bad. Whatever the averages are, it gives you a chance to really track what your daily flavors are like and maybe what sets them up for good and bad days. Because that's really what we're hoping to do, is become more aware, more present. And the best way to be more present is to be a bit preventative around things that make you feel unpresent. So just wanted to make sure we're all sure of what we're talking about when we talk about your gut brain and all that. So one other thing I wanted to bring up, just because where this is going and where we're coming from. Last week was all about relating and bonding, and next week is all about being very heart-centered, which is not always the easiest thing to talk about. So we'll start with that tomorrow. But one thing that I found is fundamentally so helpful for people in relationship is to make the distinction between a relationship and a relation canoe. So a relationship is something that we all want in the sense of bonding and connection, maybe marriage and kids or companionship and everything else. The dilemma a lot of us face today is that a relationship has a bunch of rules. It's kind of abstract. We tend to take the situation for granted because it's a big ship and there's a captain and somebody else is driving, keeping the engine working. Somebody else makes the food. So we tend to go on automatic when we're in relationships. So I often remind people that wouldn't it be more fun to get out of the relationship and move over into a relation canoe, which is basically a fundamentally different experience. So imagine you and your other imagined other partner person are in a canoe. And every time you paddle, you have to check in with each other. Every time you change directions, you're going to notice. So it's more playful, it's more present, it's more passionate. You get to splash each other a little bit with the water. And if you find out that you're both going in different directions, well, you're going to end up breaking your canoe. And the whole point of that is to just recognize that we all have a tendency to want to go to sleep, to go on automatic, and to kind of take the world for granted, because that's what's for sale, you know. And I'm not against that. I'm just bringing that to your attention. Because when we have a relationship with ourselves, that can get us maybe into the same kind of trouble, because we assume it's going to be automatic and easy to take for granted. And somebody else is making up the rules, right? So what would it be like if you got into a relation canoe with you and decided to just take little steps in whatever direction you're navigating with your life, so that you don't feel like you're responsible for anything more than this breath, this posture, this interaction, dealing with this thought, that memory, some other aspiration? Because that's what a relation canoe would be like, moment by moment, present, playful, perhaps passionate, perhaps curious, but much different than what's wrong with my ship? It's broken. Someone should fix my ship. And if I have a relationship like that with myself, then things like addiction and compensatory behavior and maybe using my connections with other people's to put band-aids across the discomfort I might have with myself. So I just wanted to bring that up as maybe another final context for gut week, or the week of getting to know how we connect with people. So now I'm going to just get into some of the Q&A. So if anyone who's on the call right now, even if you're not doing the 49 days, just feel free to ask me anything about anything. Excuse me. I'm going to just cover some questions that I've gotten through the computer. So the first one is, when you're doing the deep breathing, especially the underwater breathing or the breath holds, you are likely to feel some tingling in your hands and feet, especially your fingertips, maybe your face and nose and lips, and you might feel a bit dizzy. And that's actually generally a good thing, because you're stressing your body's natural ability to balance oxygen and carbon dioxide. And what we want to eventually get to do is really push the threshold high on the oxygen for a while to make your body fight back a little bit. And I'll get into the research of that when it's time to really get into that kind of breath work. But I just want you to know that that's actually normal. And the best thing to do is just sit. If you get dizzy, lie down. Because we're trying to rearrange some really subtle electrical and chemical activity in your entire nervous system, which the simplest thing to say from a Chinese medicine point of view would be, now your qi flows better. So there's a lot more to it, but I'll get into that when it seems appropriate. A person asked about the difference between being an introvert and an extrovert, and how our relationship with connection and bonding may be able to balance that out a bit. I'm a bit of an introvert most of the time, unless I'm working, and then I'm happy to be in front of 300 people. But somehow one or two people is harder than 300 sometimes. So what I would suggest to anyone who feels more of an introvert is just realize that your body doesn't often, or your energy body doesn't often, have really solid boundaries. And it's kind of exhausting to be around people, because either their energy gets in and kind of makes us feel overwhelmed, or, and it's hard to put this into clear English, but sometimes what's happening is, you could say that if we don't have a strong boundary, our energy is being borrowed by other people. So introverts are often thwarted by people because we're either overwhelmed or we're kind of leaking our energy and vitality into taking care of them in some way. So it isn't optimal to be an extrovert or an introvert. I think it's a really good idea, though, to be aware of how many people you're comfortable with, and maybe what kind of specific people you're comfortable with, and how it is that your sense of boundaries and self and not self and other feel to you, so that you can be more conscious of when that threshold feels like a burden. Another question was to try and explain how the vagus nerve and the solar plexus work together. That's a bit tricky. So your solar plexus is a plexus, so it's kind of like a gas pedal and a bit of software, in the sense that it's engaging and activating and running systems. Your vagus nerve does that in a very general way, but that's only about 20% of its job. The rest of your vagus nerve is actually, 80% of your vagus nerve is actually chemistry from the body up into the brain. And it's really the only nerve that does that. So I would say the relationship between your solar plexus and vagus nerve is kind of like yin and yang, because one is receptive and informed by, and you could say nourished or controlled by, what's coming up from below. And the other one's more yang in the sense of the solar plexus, because it's in there pushing buttons and steering wheels and making things happen. But having said that, if your solar plexus, your gut brain, is highly reactive to the world around you, the stress physiology and the chemistry of that will go back up into your vagus nerve, really telling you that you're in an emergency. So I think that's a reasonable answer for that. Another one that's come up is, what's going on when you're standing still or sitting still, and then your posture suddenly goes thunk, and then your whole body sort of goes strange, and you might get a shiver, you might get dizzy. I've had that experience, maybe 10 or 20 times in the last 35 years or so of really being devoted to practice. And I think that that's just your body mechanics reasserting a completely different memory of you. That's my experience of what's happening when that happens for me. So Imagine that you're a baby and nothing's ever happened to you, and now you're a fully grown adult and nothing's ever happened that's made your posture or your inner diaphragms or your way of being with people, you know, cringy or contorted. Then there's probably not going to be a lot of spontaneous adjustments. But if you've had a lot of injuries, you carry a lot of tension in your body, your posture has been thrown off by repetitive strains and things like that. When you relax deeply enough, your body will try and return to its innate, you know, baby-like pliable self. So it's always going to clunk to the next step that it can actually relax into. And that's a huge shift of how you actually remember yourself. So some people get cold sweats. Some people get a flush of heat. Some people get dizzy. Some people's focus gets really weird for a moment. And every time that's ever happened to me, it was a positive experience in the long term. The first couple of times it honestly scared the crap out of me because, you know, I thought I broke something, but that's not the case. It's a natural reset into a more aligned state of self. So those are the questions that I have that have been sent my way. I'm just going to check the computer here. Okay, so I'll just hang out and focus on my tortoise breathing. And if any other questions come up in the next few minutes, I'll do my best to answer them. So if you're not familiar with tortoise breathing, contract your anus towards your belly button very, very gently, and then breathe in towards your belly button. And then relax, breathe out. Then contract your anus towards your low spine and breathe in. And then breathe out. And then contract your anus and see if you can imagine it pulling in two directions towards your sides as you breathe in. And then it's still contracting, but just releasing gradually as you exhale. And then you could do the same thing with a contraction towards your front corners, about 45 degrees both sides. And then let it relax. And try and have that contraction go backwards 45 degrees towards your back corners. So if you can figure out those five different kind of compass points around your body, then you'll be in a situation where you can do it more fluidly, where you would start with the front. So I'll say the front is up, and then the sides, front corners, and then sides, and then back corners, and then back as you inhale. And as you exhale, you would keep the contraction and release it gently back, back corners, sides, front corners, front, and then just a smooth articulation all the way around and all the way back. And it takes time for that to become really a tangible thing for people. It's just meant to slow everything down, make it very, very tangible. And again, from a mechanical point of view or a biomedical point of view, you're now re-correcting a lot of imbalances and unconscious behavior in your solar plexus, which will fundamentally change how you feel the world. And the more you work with your inner egg, the more you work with the underwater breathing to develop a state shift, especially for kind of metaphysical journeying or spiritual journeying, that kind of breathing is really going to help you there. So I hope that's becoming more tangible. All you can honestly do is just keep playing with it until you start to get more of a sense of what's happening. well, if you're to use the Bakwa, I'm assuming you mean the trigrams and their energies. If that's the case, then it would be strange because you'd be going like around the thing in like a clockwise or a counterclockwise direction instead of splitting it, because then you'd be doing two trigrams at once. Although I like the idea of eight directions or 12 or as many as you can, But again, eventually it's meant to be like a big, deep tortoise breath all the way around your being up into your shell, then from your shell all the way down into your belly. So I hope that helps a bit. How many rounds of cold showers? I think it would be 3. So if you've gotten through most of your bathing in the first minute, then you would do 45 cold, 15 hot, 45 cold, 15 hot, 45 cold. So about 4-minute shower, 3 minutes, really working with your adaptability with the cold. And as we get a little farther along, we're going to start doing more long-term cold showers. But we want to work on something specific first, otherwise we might just shock ourselves. And I really don't want someone to pass out, fall down, bang their head in their shower. So bit by bit, it's always a good way to go. I think that covers the questions we have so far. I'm trying to think of any other questions that I've had recently. I think that covers it. So I'm not sure how long it takes from me saying, throw out some questions, for that to actually get to you and you guys to throw out the questions. Fireplace is doing something funny. Okay, so I guess I'll turn it all off. So tomorrow morning, we're going to get into something really quite unique. And it's going to be about state and narrative balance and what I call the bowl of fish in your head. Because if we're going to get into a heart-centered practice, we're going to need to learn to reorientate our dependency on language to make sense of the world. Not saying we need to stop using language, it's just changing the relationship and the dependence of it. So 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, we're going to learn about mind-fish discernment and how you can honor your narrative while kind of putting it to bed. So, happy Sunday. Thanks for the questions. Hope you're having a yummy big Sunday feast. And I'll see you all bright and early. Or not. Have a great night.